Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
If you have a Bible on you this morning, I want you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. In verse 20, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, and verse 20. And I'm talking today about relationships. We've been talking for several weeks about relationships. And today, you know, we've covered marriages. We've talked about a parent-child relationship some. Talked about the family, the close family. But today I want to talk to you about friendships. Friendships are extremely powerful. Friendships, I believe, in many ways define us. The book of Proverbs talks a ton about who we spend our time with. And Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says it in a great way. I think it sums it up on who we're running with, who we're doing life with, who we're allowing to shape our attitude and our spirit. They determine our destiny in a lot of ways. Here's how the Proverbs author wrote it. He said this, Proverbs 13, 20. He says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed." He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Let's say that out loud together. Come on, y'all help me. It helps you remember it. There's a power in speaking the word. I don't just do this to get to hear people say things. Say this out loud. Say, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Hey, that's a powerful revelation. And you know, that's something that a lot of us that are parents, or you guys you're never done parenting, I hear that. I kind of thought I'd be done maybe when they got out of high school, out of college, but you people that have been around longer than me, y'all tell me it never ends. But you know, you get real heavy talking to kids and teenagers about this, right? "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And a lot of times we're talking to teenagers and it's like, hey, if you hang out with the idiots, come on somebody, you're going to be an idiot yourself, right? If you hang out with a punk kid, you're going to end up being a punk. I remember there was a kid in my neighborhood. Whenever I grew up, and I didn't live in a neighborhood, I lived on a farm by myself, but I called it a neighborhood because I was very lonely and I had imaginary friends out there. No, I didn't really. I'm just kidding. I would have to travel to go find friends to play with. And so I would ride a horse or a bike or a four-wheeler to town. So I went to town to play. And so I would ride over to town and I would find my friends. And there was one boy over there that I'll tell you, if there ever was a kid that was like Beelzebub in the flesh. Y'all know the kid I'm talking about. There's one in every neighborhood, right? If there ever was a kid like that, he lived right down the way. And if he wasn't in trouble at the beginning of the day, he would be in trouble by the end of the day. And if you were with him on that day, how many of you know you were going to be in trouble too? He had that ability. And my mother identified that about that young man very quickly. And she would want to know, she told me, she just said, "You can't hang out with him." And I would sneak around and hang out with him anyways. And when I did, I would get in trouble. And he just was the kind of guy that it didn't matter what, even if things could be going in the right direction, he could turn it and make it negative and mess it up. By the way, he spent several years in the penitentiary of his adult life now. How many know mama is typically right on those things? Give mama a hand clap for keeping me out of the penitentiary. Come on, somebody. She was trying to keep me out of trouble because she knew who I would hang out with would shape my spirit. How many of y'all think us parents of kids and teenagers ought to know who our kids, ought to know who they're texting with? Come on, somebody. Who they're talking to on Facebook? Come on, somebody. Who they're Snapchatting with? Now, mom could control that a bit in my life, but now if you turn them loose with the phone and that phone is not checked, I promise you, they're connecting with people you don't want them connecting with. Come on, we ought to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and understand what is going on. Give God one more hand clap if you believe that's good preaching. We just got to know that stuff now. It's a different day. But here's the thing. If you walk with wise men, the Proverbs author says you will become wise. Some of that wisdom in their spirit will get off on you. It's like almost there's an osmosis with who we hang out with. And their spirit begins to affect our spirit. And our spirit begins to affect their spirit. And it happens if you're hanging out with wise people. It also happens if you're hanging out with a foolish person. Come on. I've watched people's attitude and their spirit begin to change. You can see it in many different forms. You can identify it very quickly, very, very quickly with a teenage kid, because life moves very quickly, and 6 months brings a lot of change to a teenager. But I see it in the church realm all the time. I see it with people that they'll have a positive spirit and upbeat, and they'll be cool, and things are headed in the right direction. And the next time you get around them, there's something funky in the air. How many of you can ever just feel somebody when they come into the room? You know, a lot of communication is what's said, but more than what's said is what is felt. And you can feel it. What happened? Well, a lot of times somebody's shaping their spirit that's not a wise person, but is a negative influence. See, who we hang out with is massive. And a lot of us, just because of the way life happens, the people that we spend the most time with, we just allowed that to happen not by a choice or not by a decision, but by default. Did anybody out there ever have a friend by default? Your parents were friends? Come on. They live close to you. You work with them. Maybe they go to your church. Just because they go to your church does not mean they should be your friend. Come on, somebody. There are people that are sometimes people will be dating somebody and they'll show up and they'll say, "Pastor Brian, I met a great guy. He goes to your church." And I'm like, "Well, I hope he's a great guy, but I promise you, just because he goes to my church does not make him a great guy." Because, like, we minister to everybody at our church, right? We want to help everybody. And so just because you find them in some place doesn't mean they should be shaping your spirit. Come on, we ought to be proactive about the kind of relationships we have in life. We shouldn't just let relationships happen to us. We should happen to relationships. And there was a group, a Christian group of guys that kind of trained and helped men. Through the late 90s and early 2000s, they were a voice in America. They were called Promise Keepers. Didn't you guys ever go to a Promise Keepers convention or hear one of their speakers or several around? That they don't have the same steam they used to, but man, they've left a real print on the fabric of America and Christian men. And their whole idea was getting guys to take care of their family, be righteous Christian men, keep their marriage vows, raise a family in the things of God. Their principles were great. And they had this model they taught about relationships. They said every person should have one of three different types of relationships. And here's the three. The first one they said that everybody should have in their life is everybody should have an apostle Paul. Everybody say Paul. Said we should all have a Paul in our life. And who is Paul in the Bible? Paul is one of the great apostles. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul planted many of the churches you read about in your Bible. Paul is the guy that had such a great mentoring role in people's life. Paul trained Titus. Paul trained Timothy. Paul carried a big enough bat that one time the apostle Peter himself was out of line. He wouldn't eat with Gentile Christians while Jews were watching because the Jews believed that Gentiles were unclean. You couldn't eat with them. Peter stopped eating with them. Paul comes and rebukes him and straightens him out. How many know you're a pretty big deal if you can rebuke and straighten out the Apostle Peter? Listen, Paul is a mentor. Every time we open up the New Testament, he wrote 2/3 of it. We are learning from the Apostle Paul. And if Paul is anything to the early church, Paul is a coach, Paul is a voice, Paul is a power. Now, I believe this, that all of us in our life, we need a coach. Come on, somebody. We need a voice, and we need power flowing from somewhere, somebody who's went further, faster than us. It's true in the spiritual realm. Right now, you're in the church getting taught. You're hearing the word of God. We're being coached by the scriptures and biblical ideas. I'm telling you, 9/10 of the battle in life, it happens if you'll open your voice to a coach. God will lift you higher. Give yourself a hand clap just for showing up to church. Come on, really give yourself a hand clap. You showed up. You showed up on Our Change Sunday when UK is playing for the SEC Championship. You ought to get a special jewel in your crown in heaven for that. Somebody say amen, you know? And all those people that aren't here, we're praying for them today. We're praying for all you people stayed home today because of that, in Jesus' name. But Paul was a powerful coach. And I'm thankful for the guys that have coached me in the kingdom of God. They've made a big difference in my life. How many of you can think back to somebody that's just been pivotal for seasons in your life or at different times in your life, bringing you closer to the things of God? I think about Jesse's dad, who we were praying for earlier. You know, I don't think I would have made it in the kingdom without him. He came to me whenever I was a mess. I was a 21-year-old kid. I was messed up. And he loved me, and he coached me, and he had space for me in his life. And he took me with him everywhere for every night, just about for 2 years. And I'll tell you, he spoke to me and corrected me when I needed it. And man, got me filled with the Spirit, got me saved, taught me about so many things in the Bible. And I'm thankful for those coaches that make a difference. You know, there are different coaches that just help you in life. I got another pastor that speaks into my life, Pastor Bill Shear, Guts Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he coaches and helps me. And I know if I ever got myself in trouble, he's the guy that would do anything in the world that he could to get me out of it. What is that? That's a Paul-type figure in my life. You may not, those are pastors. I'm a pastor. But let's say even in your business flow or your workspace or your trade, how many have had some people that just taught you how to do what you do, how you make a living right now? That's the person. And everybody needs that. And here's what happens is we get to a certain age in life, and we kind of start thinking we don't need that anymore. Now, I think it's a dangerous space. Did anybody in here play high school athletics of any kind? Let me see your hand. You had a coach, and you played high school athletics. Let me ask you, were you in better shape back then? No. When you had a coach, then you are right now. Absolutely, we all were. I'll tell you, my senior year in high school, I could take off and run. I had a football coach that his real calling was track. He was coaching football part-time. And I don't think he understood football, but he knew how to make boys run. And we conditioned all the time. I had buddies that went on and played Division I college football and other football. And he said, listen, college football, the conditioning was easy compared to what we did in high school. The only thing that got harder in college was how hard you got hit. Because all this guy understood was run, run, run. He coached us, and we didn't have a great year playing football that year, but I'll tell you, we could take off and run home from where we are right now. So he was making us better. But what happens is you stop getting coached at some point in your life, and then kind of the power of having that voice, it goes. What it comes down to now in America is no one wants to be corrected anymore. We resist correction. And if anybody corrects us or anybody disagrees with us or anybody says, you know, what we're saying or thinking or doing is wrong, all of a sudden that person is a closed-minded bigot. Come on, somebody. That is a hate monger. And that's the spirit of the age. And we're shutting down the voice of correction and the coaches in America. And we desperately need spiritual coaches. We desperately need family coaches. We need fathers. We need help. We need somebody to show us the way home. And I'm telling you, I think God wants that strong in the church. And he's going to do it in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to be coached. If I get corrected, I get better. Here's what the Bible says about correction. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it says this. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as sons. You know, the real proof of love is discipline and correction. The Bible says if a father will not discipline a son, he hates them. Let me say that again. The Bible says if a father will not discipline a son, he hates him. Let me say it one more time. The Bible says if a father will not discipline a son, he hates him. Y'all know that's the word of God? Let me say it one more time. Because I don't think America gets it anymore. You know, the Bible says that if a father will not discipline a son, he hates him. Why do you discipline your son? Because you don't want to see harm come their way. Discipline is proof of love. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. He loves us so much, he will correct us. Bill Gates said this about coaching in life and having a Paul that coaches you. Bill Gates, it's a pretty successful man. One of the wealthiest men in the world, tech giant, he said this. He said, everyone needs a coach. It doesn't matter whether you're a basketball player, a tennis player, a gymnast, or a bridge player. You know, all of the big people you'll read about, like that have started the massive companies in the last 10, 15 years, most of them have somebody that coaches them. We kind of think that they're standalone geniuses, and that's what got them there. And a lot of times in the church world, I'll tell you, A lot of times the guys that built great ministries of the last 100 years, and they're kind of, people think about these guys as God's men of faith and power. If you start looking behind the scenes, how they became who they are, there's always multiple voices that coach them from multiple trains of thoughts and workflow. Not just preachers. A lot of them are coached by business people and people that know how to get a hold of crowds and preach to them. It's just powerful. Here's something that I didn't know till recently is that Steve Jobs, the man who founded Apple, brought us the smartphone, brought us the iPad, brought us the iPod. Let me ask you, how many of y'all have an Apple product on your body right now? Let me see your hands. A ton of us do. So the guy that was the founder of Apple, he was coached by a guy by the name of Bill Campbell. All right, Eric Schmidt, CEO of Google. He put together Google. The guy that has Google, and Google is now the largest search engine in the world. It downloads the entire, like, internet every 8 minutes or something like that and makes it searchable. The guy that put together Google has had a coach, and his name also was Bill Campbell. All right? The guy that has founded Amazon, Bezos, and has Amazon now that's taken over the world, is contending with Walmart. Who would have ever thought someone could take a bite out of Walmart? He had a coach as well. Guess what his coach's name was? Bill Campbell. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all want to be coached by Bill Campbell now? Somebody get Bill Campbell on the phone. But the whole idea is this, is that these men, maybe they're great men, but maybe they're extremely great men because they had an extremely great coach. And the Apostle Paul in the Bible, God's put you in a church so you could be coached spiritually. How many of you know right now you're getting coached? You're getting coached up. The Word of God is coming to you. Your faith is growing. You're hearing concepts of God. There's things that are challenging you, and coaches come to challenge. You know that Michael Jordan played 15 seasons in the NBA. Michael Jordan also won 6 NBA championships. You know how many NBA championships he won when Phil Jackson wasn't coaching him? 0. Kobe Bryant played 20 years in the NBA. He won 5 NBA championships. You know how many NBA championships Kobe Bryant won whenever Phil Jackson was not coaching him? 0. See, there is a power in a coach. How many of y'all think it makes sense that we have a coach, a spiritual coach in church? We have a business coach. Come on, somebody. We have a coach somewhere in life to lift us higher unless we want to stop climbing right where we are today. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. I think it's good preaching. It's good teaching. I want to be coached. I love being coached. I respond to it. I really do. Now, I think it's something that helps me. I was talking to Jesse. There's areas of my life that I'm coached in. I'm coached spiritually by my pastors, the guys that lead me. I talked to you about them earlier. And then I have a business coach that helps us here at the church right now. I do that helps with our systems and our flow and how we're laying stuff out. Because if we're going to be a church, I believe we're called to be a church that plants 100 campuses around the nation. How many of y'all want to see our church do more than what we do in this room right now? Y'all think we ought to do more than what we're doing right now? Come on, somebody ought to really give God a hand clap. I think we can do more for the glory of God. Come on, for the gospel, to help win the lost. If we're going to do that, we got to have coaches that are going to help us. So everybody needs to be coached. Second thing we need, number one, we need a Paul. Number two, we need a Barnabas. Everybody say Barnabas. Barnabas was really a friend to Paul. They were peers. They were kind of doing the same thing in ministry. So he had a coach or a Paul to you is somebody that's kind of leading you. All right? A Barnabas is somebody that's a peer to you that's going in the same direction. Barnabas' name means a son of encouragement in the New Testament. That's what the word Barnabas means, a son of encouragement. And somebody in life that's going the same direction you want to go, that's a great encouragement in life. As a matter of fact, Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he was an enemy to the church. He was the guy that was harassing the church, and a lot of the persecution in the early scriptures in the book of Acts, it comes from the hands of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul's caused the church a lot of trouble. He had a lot of beatings issued. He was there whenever Stephen was martyred. Paul oversaw the death of a Christian preacher. He had arrest warrants for church people everywhere. And all of a sudden, Paul gets converted, has this connection with God, repents of his sins, and he wants to come back and be a part of the community he's harassed. How many of you know that Jeffrey Dahmer can repent? But if he wants to come to dinner tomorrow night, we're a little bit sketchy about that, right? It's like, you don't really want him there. So Paul was thought of like Dahmer to the church. And all of a sudden, Paul shows up. Barnabas is the guy that connected them all, vouched for Paul, and made it all right. And then they started doing ministry together. And so they got this peer relationship. Man, the peers that we run in. Here's the thing. A coach-player relationship is different than a friendship relationship. A friendship relationship, we play on a team together, right? You're going to talk different to the guy you're on a team with than you're going to talk to the coach unless you want to run laps. That's the way the world goes around. So this relationship is just different, and we need this relationship. I think this relationship challenges us. I think in the Christian context, come on, we can pray for one another because you know each other deeply. If you play with somebody or you work with somebody every day, how many of you know they start to know your character strengths? They start to know your character flaws. We really know each other, right? And so this relationship is a little different, and it's powerful. And this relationship of who we walk with day to day is so massive, who we're talking to. I've got some friends that do what I'm doing right now that are in my age group, and I'm telling you, we're like a Barnabas to each other, and it's one of the strongest things I have. It's powerful. It helps us. And I think we learn from each other. We pray for each other, and then we also challenge each other because I want my friends to do great at everything they do. But come on, I want to do just a little bit better than they do. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? How many, really, like, if I play golf with anybody in this room, I promise you I would never let you win. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old. I'm still going to beat you. I'll take a five-year-old's money. I'm not above that. No, I'm playing. I'm playing with you out there. But you know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all think it's healthy to have a drive to win in life? If you get too used to losing, the devil's dealt you some bad cards. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for a spirit of victory. This relationship helps that. And I've had some bad relationships like this. Before I got born again, I had a friend I used to run and party with and do stupid stuff, and then I decided, man, I'm going to change the way I'm living. I'm going to change my life. My brother had gotten born again. Some people gotten saved, and I went to a church service. My brother, my mother was there, and a pastor prayed for me in that church service, and I'm walking out, and I'm trying to make a difference in my life, trying to let God work on me. And I went back around my old running mate, my friend, and I said, listen, I'm going to try to straighten my life out. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to get out of the mess that we're in. I'm not going to live like this anymore. And I'm going to do something different. When I told him that, he laughed out loud. And he said this to me. He said, Gibson, you're going to die a junkie. You're never going to do anything different with your life. This is who you are. And when he said that, I said, man, it's good to see you. I walked out the door and I left. And I never went back to that house or talk to that guy for 15 years. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. That's just the decision some of you need to make. And it's not just in an addiction realm. Tell you, there's some of you, God is calling you to promotion in life. But if you go any higher, the person that you're running with isn't going to like you anymore. Until you get rid of that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude, there's going to be a lid on your life. How many know that's true? Some people, they don't want you to climb higher. And as long as I'm walking with them, I can't go higher. But when I start walking with climbers, come on, then things start happening in life. I'm praying that God had put the right kind of Barnabas, the right kind of person in your life in the church. The third kind of person, I'll go quickly with this, is we need a Timothy. Everybody say a Timothy. Man, Timothy is the guy that Paul was coaching up. So we need somebody that's lifting us up, somebody we're walking beside, and somebody we're coaching up, right? Freely you have received, now freely you need to give. And I think one of the most fulfilling relationships you ever have isn't somebody coaching you or somebody you're walking with. It's somebody you're sowing into. So when I'm sowing into somebody's life, how many know right now there's nothing they can do for me in return? Right now. That's why the Timothy relationship, it's not as attractive to a lot of people. And a lot of people never reach out and get one because as people in the carnal realm, we're pretty self-focused. We see having a friend can help us. We see somebody lifting us can help us. But somebody we're sowing into, that's a Jesus thing whenever we start sowing into somebody that we can't see how they help us immediately. Listen, Paul took Timothy with him and discipled him. He traveled with him in ministry. Timothy was close to Paul. There's a couple letters in the New Testament written from Paul to Timothy. And Paul coached up a couple of guys, specifically Timothy and specifically Titus. And Titus goes on and he pastors the church at Crete. And that church becomes a powerful church. Paul doesn't know whenever he's pastoring Titus as a young guy that he's going to be the overseer of this massive church in Crete. And then Paul invests in Timothy's life. And Timothy goes on and he becomes the pastor of the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians church. Paul is ministering to a young Timothy. All he knows is he's a kid that has a Christian mother and a Christian grandmother. But Paul sees something in his life and thinks that God has something for him in the future. I'll tell you, Timothy was put as the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And while he was there, that church grew from just a few thousand to, some scholars say, up to 100,000 believers. That church was multiplied under the ministry of Timothy. How many of you think Paul sowing into Timothy was worth Paul's time? Come on. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. It was worth Paul's time. You know, finding someone to sow into is well worth our time as Christians, isn't it? It's well worth our time to look and to find somebody we can help lift up. And I believe that God wants to help you do that. You know, there's a couple of cards right there by you in the seat right now. I want you to grab a couple of those cards. They're invite cards. One of the strongest ways you could pull a Timothy up, I'm telling you, is you invite him to the house of God. Maybe there's somebody out there that hadn't even heard the gospel yet. He's looking for somebody to help lead them. I'm telling you, we as a church, it's our responsibility to find young Timothys, to find sons and grandsons and daughters and granddaughters out there and coach them up to be the people that God wants them to be. Hey, I want to pray for you today. Would you stand up on your feet? I'm out of time, and the SEC championship is starting, all right? So hop up on your feet right now. We're going to go watch the game. Go Big Blue. I want to pray. I'm going to pray one thing. I'll pray for 1 minute. Some of you need somebody to help you in your career path. All right? What you want to do, what God's called you to do in life, you need like somebody to lift you and coach you. Now I'm going to pray that God would open up a relationship like that. You're probably going to have to pursue it. That doesn't just happen. You find somebody like that and you got to pursue it. They're typically not going to pursue you. Just telling you the way it works. So I believe that God's going to lead it and open a door, and you're going to pursue that. You're going to receive it. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that you would help us have these relationships. I pray for the people needing a Paul-type leader in their life to lift them in whatever area it is. I pray, Father, for a Barnabas, son of encouragement, to do life with. And then I pray for a Timothy for each and every one of us. I pray that you would lead us by your Spirit. I declare in Jesus' mighty name that we have the right kind of relationships. I say we're walking with wise men and we're becoming wise. And the companion of fools, we're not going to be in that flow. Father, I pray that you would take the bad relationships and remove them from our life and let the right relationships flow in to my brothers and my sisters. I bless them now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you lead, guide, and direct them. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And the church said, amen. Come on, give somebody a high five on your way out of here. We love you. Go Big Blue. Amen. God bless.